Well, good morning to you all. Really looking forward to sharing the message that I have for you today. But before I start the message, I would like to play a video. Are you guys like me when you were in school? Didn't you just love it when they said they had a film? I loved it. I'm just like, yeah. But it, no, it's just like, I didn't care. Just play a film. I just like, to this day, I just love movies. So we're going to play a video for you, and then I'll get back up and we'll go into the message.
You're up all night with a screaming baby. You run all day at the speed of light. Every day you feel a little bit less, like the beautiful woman you are. So you fall into bed when you run out of hours, and you wonder if anything worth doing got done. Or maybe you just don't know.
Isn't that precious? You know, this whole message, it's really neat kind of what happened this week, but there's been a collaborative effort that was sent to me from a friend that said, you know, you should really play this on Mother's Day. And I played it, you know, at home. I was like, oh yeah, definitely. And then the message itself, this is the first that I've ever done this, But this message was actually a joint effort between myself and my sister, Renee. She was on the elliptical machine earlier this week, and she said she just got a download from the Lord, like a revelation about moms and about women. And she called me up. She was all excited about it. She said, if you want, I'll put it all down in notes and send it to you. I said, absolutely, send it to me. And then a couple days later, she called me and she goes, I was on the elliptical machine this morning and I got some more revelation from God. I'm like, sounds like you need to be hanging out there in that elliptical. That elliptical is anointed. Maybe I'll come over and run on your elliptical. So she sent me some more. And then I spent quite a bit of time on it, adding to it, taking some things out. And right now it's literally probably about a 50-50 deal, and which is just really neat. So this is both for myself and for my sister. I want to start off by just, you know, obviously I'm going to be, well, I don't know if it's obvious, I'm going to be talking to moms here today, but really, this is for everybody. I think you'll all recognize wonderful truths about our Heavenly Father out of this that is true to every single one of us. So I'm entitling this message, God and Moms. So if you'd make that the title there, God and Moms. Women are nurturers by nature. They are nurturers, comforters, protectors, providers, and encouragers of children. But they are also nurturers, comforters, protectors, providers, and encouragers of husbands, of parents, of brothers and sisters, of strangers, of everyone. They are truly the nurturers in the earth, and God bless them for it. This isn't just moms, obviously, this is women. This nature in women to be this way, I don't know if you've thought about this, but this is what a point, there's two real strong points I want to make here today. There's a lot of points I'm going to be making, but there's two in particular I want to emphasize. This is one of them, and I hope you catch this. This nature that is in you, women, is the very nature of God. That's where it came from. It came from God. I mean, where else do you think it came from? Where do you think you got it? Some alien? I mean, there are some things, some ways that women act that is not from God, and in fact may actually be alien in origin. But how many know men are not without their ungodlike character traits as well? Take, for example, men being proud to have the longest and loudest passing of gas. I think that is truly alien in origin. But no, back to the message. So women are precious. This is a characteristic of women that is really beautiful, but I want you to know and think about the fact that this literally is the nature of God. It is the attribute of God that is in women. This may come as a shock to you, but God, our Heavenly Father, actually possesses every wonderful attribute that you see in a woman. God possesses those attributes, and God possesses every wonderful attribute that you see in a man. This may kind of shake your theology as well, but when God created Adam, now I want you to know this is my opinion of it based on my study of Scripture. There are others who do not agree with this, but I think the vast majority do agree with this. I think it's obvious from Scripture. I don't really even see the argument to it. But you rarely ever even hear this said, so this may come as a shock to you. But when God created Adam, the word is the Hebrew word Adam, and the word means human or humankind. God created humankind and breathed into humankind's nostrils the breath of life, and he made him in his image and in his likeness, male and female, he created. That's what it says. It doesn't say he created them. The word them was added in the English version of the Bible. It says male and female, he created. It says God created him, male and female, he created. It isn't until you see in the second chapter, verse 7, well, second, actually, in 1 Corinthians, I mean, 1 Corinthians, in Genesis 1:27, it says what I just said there. And then in chapter 2, verse 7, you see the confirmation, God only created a single individual. And then later, he removed the female portion out of the man and created woman. Adam was fully male and fully female. He was created in the image of God. God is our comforter, is he not? He's our nurturer. He watches over us. Jesus said, I would have gathered you, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not let me. Now, I know we've talked about, we've even heard here about El Shaddai. I don't really want to go there. And the reason I want to go there is because there actually is a pretty strong controversy about whether that means all-breasted one. So I'm just, the only reason I'm saying that is because I'm guessing a lot of you are thinking about that right now, El Shaddai. So to me, it's not clear enough. I don't really want to go there with that. So I just wanted to throw that out there, why I'm not, you know, espousing that. The word shad does mean breasts, or no, shadayim means breasts, but El Shaddai, the word shad, they're saying, is the root of shadayim, but Hebrew scholars say that's really not true. They're not from the same root, and therefore you can't make that jump. So, but others disagree with that, so I don't really know. So I just want you to know, but the fact is God possesses all these attributes. He is a nurturer. He is wonderful. And so women, that attribute that you have is literally a God characteristic, a God attribute. It's from him. That capacity you have to be the nurturer you are comes from God. Now let's talk about the associations between God and moms. We'll continue with this. Children, now here's the second one. I was telling you there are two really strong I want you to get. One is recognizing that God has all of these attributes, and therefore the female attributes that women have is literally from him. It's from God. The second one is this. Children are born, it's going to take me a minute to build to it. It's not this first sentence that I'm saying, but children are born totally, absolutely and totally dependent on their parents. And today in particular, I'm focusing on the moms, completely dependent on moms. And over the years, they grow less and less dependent. And this is good, obviously, right? That's what we want. Throughout the teenage years, they start becoming more into their own and start becoming independent. And again, this is good to a degree. I mean, how many of you know it is not good that your 16-year-old still wants you tying their shoes or helping them and get dressed? That would not be good. But this idea of becoming independent altogether is actually not biblical, and it's not of God. Children are completely dependent on parents. They don't, and I'm talking about, you know, when they're little, they aren't looking to themselves to determine, to organize their life and determine how things are going to go. What do? They play. That's what they do. They play. Why? They know mom and dad's got it covered. So they just get to play. And as children grow up, they start to gain their independence. And yet the reality is what God has desired for us to do as parents is to raise children up, understanding authority and their submission to authority and their complete dependence on, they don't have to learn that, the complete dependence on the parents, but what they are to be taught by the parents is that this dependence is to be transferred from the parent to God. They don't go from dependence to independence. They simply transfer their dependence. They learn the dependence on the parent so that when it's time for it to transfer to God, it's a smooth transition, it's easy, it's literally their nature to transfer that dependence. We get busy providing for ourselves, orchestrating our lives, taking care of ourselves as we grow up and get older, you know, 18-year-olds and 20-year-olds, and we start really just going after life on our own, and we orchestrate and control our own life, and this is the problem, because we really should be just as dependent on God as we were on our parents in the beginning. We are meant, Jesus said, to remain as children. In terms of our utter dependence on God. Then Jesus, in Matthew 18, verses 2 to 4, he says this, and then Jesus called a little child to him, and he's talking to adults, and he calls a little child to him, sets him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, now listen to how he starts this, assuredly, I say to you, he's putting emphasis on this truth, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever, what? Humbles himself. Isn't that exactly what it takes? Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to dabble a little bit here. This is why it is so important that parents teach children, especially in the very early years, simple obedience. And one of the things I mean by when I say simple obedience, a mistake that, in my opinion, it's a mistake that happened, started happening probably about 10 or 15 years ago. It was written in a lot of books and all this whole concept of explaining to your children. Now, I know some of you are going to get upset with me about this because it's so heavy in our culture right now. You're going to think I'm the one that's off. I'm telling you, I'm not. I'm right. I thought that was a given. So this idea and this concept of explaining to your children why you're disciplining them. Now, let me sit you down and explain to you why I'm doing what I'm doing. And everyone, it's just become a big thing that this is what you do with children. You know the problem with that is? What you have just done is you're telling the children, now, again, this is going to sound offensive, that you're saying that children has rights. And rights only come with authority. So if you're saying they have rights, you're saying they have authority. And that's why you need to explain to them. If you're a good parent, you need to explain why you're disciplining your children. Wrong. They have no authority. I'm talking the very early years. They have no authority, therefore they have no rights. They obey their parents, period. Now this is super important that kids understand this. Otherwise, you are literally teaching them a principle that is not accurate in their relationship with their father. How many of you know when God speaks to our hearts and tells us to do something or to not do something, 99% of the time, he gives no explanation. He just says, do this or don't do that. He will witness to your heart, do not get in this relationship. This one you're playing with right now and you're concerned, you have a witness from God, don't get in it. Do you know there's no explanation that comes with it? And how many of you know if you ask God why? If I was a betting man, I would put a large wager on the side that he's not going to answer your question. But the witness will never go away. Don't do it. That's all God says. Don't do it. What God wants from us is simple obedience. Obey him. If a child isn't taught that, they will rebel against God and say, unless you explain to me why, I'm doing my own thing. Why do they have that in their heart? because you taught that to them. Children need to be taught simple obedience. You do it because I said so. Did I tell you not to touch that? Go to your room. But parents will grab them. Now, let me explain to you why I'm doing this. That's a mistake. All right, serious dabbling. I'm moving on. Children live in direct contact with their parents at all times. And as a result, parents are directing their paths. Children are always right there interacting with the parents, and the parents are directing their path. When we grow up, we transfer that simple principle to God. We must stay in direct, constant contact with the Father, and if we do so, He will direct our paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you all know this well, says what? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to what? Your own understanding. But in all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Again, as children, we call upon our moms when we're in trouble. When we have fallen and hurt our knees, scrape our knees, we call upon moms, and they come and they deliver us. They take care of us. As adults who remain as children, meaning dependent on God, when we fall, we call upon God, and He is faithful to deliver us. Psalm 50, verse 15 says this, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Look at that. We actually glorify God, he says in that verse, because we are leaning on Him. He becomes our source. He becomes our deliverer. We don't make ourselves our own deliverer. He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me in this relationship. When you are dependent on me, I will lift you up and I will glorify you." Children are full of joy. Children shout for joy. Why? Because they trust in the relationship they have with their parents, knowing that they will protect them, that they have everything taken care of. Again, of course, this is assuming we're talking about parents that are parenting by God's design. I understand that, you know, many of us didn't have great parents and all that, but we're talking about in the context of parents who operate in the design of God. As adults who remain childlike in their attitude and their mindset towards God, we can maintain that joy. This is God's desire for us, that we would enter His rest and be full of joy. Why? Because we trust utterly in His watching over us, His being faithful to us, knowing that He will defend us. Psalm 5, verse 11 says this regarding this idea. "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them, you protect them." As children, we dwell in the land, playing and eating, all the while feeding on what? The faithfulness of our moms and our dads. As adults who remain childlike, we dwell in the land, working, raising our children, all the while feeding on the faithfulness of God. Psalm 37:3 says this to us. "Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness." Listen to that. Listen to what God is beckoning His children to do. He's saying, "Feed on my faithfulness. I'll be there. I am there for you. Will you trust me?" Just like you did your mom and your dad when you were 1 and 2 and 3 years old, feed on my faithfulness. And the end result will be complete peace and rest and play, and the joy will return. How many of you know, isn't it sad when you see kids wherever you go, they're just jumping and laughing and playing. You look at adults and it looks like they've been baptized in lemon juice We lose it. We lose the joy. Why do we lose the joy? For one reason only, the cares of this world entering in. Think about what would happen to you if you suddenly realized that you won the lottery and you now have $25 million in your bank account, or that your very wealthy uncle passed away and you inherited $25 million. Do you think a little joy will enter in? Will you find yourself a little bit more of a skip in your step? Kind of like helping out friends, doing, you know, paying for meals at restaurants. Hey, no problem, I got this. You know, just, I love you, man. I love you, man. Everybody just love everybody all of a sudden. The joy enters in. Why? You know what happened? The cares lifted off of you. That's just a kind of a litmus test to tell us that's the problem. It's care. It's worry. Why do we worry? Why do we care? Because we're not truly simply trusting that God has us. And yet God says over and over, I've got you. Will you trust me? I've got you. So I'm hoping this is meant to be a blessing to moms, because it's talking about the beautiful attributes of moms and what they do for children. At the same time, I hope it's an encouragement to every one of us to remind ourselves we need to just be trusting in God with all of our heart. He's got us. And that we can enter into his rest. Hebrews 4, read it, please. Meditate on that chapter over and over and over. And hear the heart of your Father as he beckons you and me to trust him. And if we do, he says, you will enter this thing I've got for you called rest. I love this one verse in Hebrews 4. It says, labor, therefore, to enter his rest. What? Work hard to enter his rest. What's he saying? He's saying fight for it in the thinking process of your mind. Fight for that reality, that truth. Believe in the Father. Look at his word. Meditate. Go after it until you get the revelation that he's got you. Fight for it. Contend for it. And then you will enter his rest. In the early part of that chapter, God says, don't be like the Israelites who would not enter my rest. I had it for them too. They wouldn't do it. Why? I spoke it to them. I told them it was there for them. But they though they received the word, they did not mix it with something. What didn't they mix it with? Faith. What's that mean? They didn't believe him. That's why we worry. We don't believe him. God says, believe me, I've got you. But it takes faith. You've got to believe him, then it flows. Or you end up like the Israelites. No flow. We got to believe him. It's by faith. But the beautiful thing is, if you do believe him, you too, and I too, can step out of the boat and walk on water. But we have to believe. And God is saying over and over in his word, I'm there. I've got you. These are the promises I'm reading to you. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Isaiah 61:3, another promise I want to bring to your attention. Isaiah 61:3 says this, to give them beauty for ashes. As children, when we have a broken bike, right? We broke our skateboard. Those are the ashes. We take it to our parents, and what do? They fix it, or they buy us another one. Beauty for ashes. As adults, when we have broken relationships, broken dreams, broken bodies, etc., these are the ashes. We take it to God, and he restores it. In fact, for those of us who did not have good moms or dads, God will restore that part as well. If we let him. It takes faith. God says in Psalm 68:5 that he is a father to the fatherless. He is a defender of the widows. This is who God is in his holy habitation. The Lord told my sister one time that, Renee, that she could no longer use our dad's poor fathering as an excuse anymore, because she had a wonderful heavenly father who was more than capable of making up for all of dad's failures. It was her choice at that point when the Lord spoke to her whether or not she would go to God to make up the lack. But if she chose to use God, my dad's poor fathering as an excuse for her issues, she would be held accountable for it. That's what the Lord spoke to Renee. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I've shown you in my word and I've shown you in my character that I'm here for you. You cannot continue to use your upbringing as an excuse for not receiving all that I have for you. I'm here for you. If we could only live our lives as children who totally trust in and rely on God, what peace and joy that would be. We can transfer our dependence to God. And we may ask, you know, why should I? And why would it be safe? Is it wise to transfer my dependence completely to God? And why should we? Exactly. I'm going to give you three reasons of many. I could give 103 reasons. Here's just three. Why should we transfer our dependence to God? Number one, and I'm going to close with this, even though I actually have three more pages of notes to fill this in. Maybe I'll go into it next week. But I knew I wasn't going to get through all of it today, but I just wanted you to know there's some really good stuff behind this. Number one, why should we transfer our dependence on God? Think about this. Because he loves us more than we love ourselves. You think, I'm going to rely on myself because nobody loves me like I love myself. You know, the reality is God actually loves you more than you love you. You know, we're broken in our loving of ourselves. It's a transformation process. We're all in different places, but as we give our hearts to God and we learn who he is and how much he loves us, we learn to love ourselves. But we're learning to love ourselves. God loves you perfectly. God loves you and me perfectly. I love that about God. He loves us perfectly. So why should we transfer our dependence on God? Because he loves us more than we love ourselves. Number two, because he knows us better than we know ourselves. I mean, literally, isn't that wild? That there's someone who actually knows you better than you know you. How many times has God revealed something to you about your own heart, and as a result, you see it? That's why I act this way. That's why I do this. That's why this kind of thing always used to hurt me. God just revealed something to you about you, which means he knew it and you didn't. He knows you and me better than we know ourselves. Sounds like a good person to maybe transfer our dependence to. Trust in him. Number three, because his blessing, according to his own declaration, is on those who trust in him. There's many verses that say that. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Psalm says it several times. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says it. It says that God will bless those who trust in him. I'm going to just read a closing note I had, and maybe, hopefully it'll make sense since I didn't do all the stuff before it, but just for the sake of time, I'm just going to wrap this up. The nurturing, back to the moms here for a minute, the nurturing nature in a woman is the very nature of God. Moms are awesome because moms are from God. They are the blessing of God in the earth. Now, what I'd like to do now is just to take a few minutes and bless the moms. I'm going to bless the moms two ways. I'd like to give you all a gift, but I also would like to pray over all the moms. Now, listen, I want to address real quickly, even in the prayer time, a couple areas, like those of you maybe who have wanted to be moms but have been unable to have children. I want to remind you that God is the ultimate redeemer. God redeems his people. He has his ways of doing it. It may not be the way that, you know, we know, but God is the ultimate redeemer. Lean into him for the redemption of your own life in that area. There are those of us in this room that have moms who've passed away. And if you want prayer, I want to pray over the moms or the women who have not been able to have children. I'd like to pray for you if you would like prayer for moms, for those of you who have moms that have passed away, and maybe today's a hard day for you. That's what I'm kind of addressing. I know today can be a hard day for some people. And then there are those of you maybe who have difficult relationships with your moms. God gives grace for us to handle difficult relationships if we will lean into him. He will literally give you a capacity to love those who are unlovely. He will give you a peace that the Bible says surpasses understanding. You won't even understand how you have such peace in this relationship when there used to be nothing but turmoil. God will give it to you if you trust in him. And I want to pray for you in that area if you would like to. And I want to remind you, for those of you maybe who are having difficult relationships with both either your mother or your father, I also want to kind of admonish you. I want to remind you of something God requires of us, and that is, even in your difficult situation, you must always honor your mother and your father. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but you must honor them. However that's going to look in your situation. Jesus, while on the cross, after being beaten nearly to death, is crucified, is in such anguish and such pain on the cross. What does he do concerning his mother? He makes sure she's taken care of. He says, John, behold your mother. He made sure she was going to be cared for and watched out for. Always honor your mother and your father. And lastly, for those of you moms who maybe think you aren't doing a really good job as a mom, I don't know if this will be encouragement, but can I just tell you, you're in big company, because I think most all moms feel that way. I've heard it over and over and over. Moms feeling so inadequate. Well, first of all, let me remind you, God's the one that picked you out to be a mom. He knows what he's doing. And most importantly, you're not alone. God is saying, I've got you covered. I will make up for all the mistakes that you make. I will cover all the gaps. 3 years ago on Mother's Day, I had prepared a message for Mother's Day. I'm driving from my home to church to come here. I was on Bethel Road, and I just felt like the Lord was speaking to my heart, like he wanted to say something to moms. And I said to him, Lord, talk to me, Lord. What do you want to say to the moms? I don't care if I've got a whole message. I'll chuck the whole thing. If you've got something else, what do you want to say? And the Lord, I hardly even got the last syllable out of my mouth, and he spoke to me clear as day, and he said, tell them thank you. Do you guys remember that? That, to me, that blessed me through and through, because I knew that principle. It wasn't just for moms, but it certainly was for moms. And he gave me a whole download. It was like in one nanosecond. I understood the whole thing. He gave me the whole thing. And so I just want to say to you again, moms, God says, thank you for every time you hugged your child, for that is his child. He created them. Thank you for every tear you've shed for them. Thank you for every anxious night that you stayed awake because of your child, because of worry for them. Thank you for every time you thanked them, embraced them, encouraged them. Thank you for every kiss you've kissed them with. The Lord says, thank you, thank you, thank you. So moms, please come up here if you would. And if there's another person who's not a mom is going to be up here, maybe you could help Derek pass these out real quick. Or he may not need help, actually. Yeah. Yes. And again, those other other situations that I talked about, those of you who have not been able to have children, or maybe you're having difficult relationships with your parents, or any of the other ones that I mentioned, if you would, after this, please come up so we can pray for you. I really want this to be a day that you are ministered to by God. You give opportunity for the Spirit of God to touch you and to heal your heart. Everything what we talked about today, he's saying, lean on me. I'm here for you. Let's take him at his word, right? If you have a pain in your heart having anything to do with moms or even dad, just come up and let's pray. Let's believe God to touch your heart. Are you able to pass him off and pray with me? Okay. Oh, that's wonderful. See, there, mom.
Yep.
That's what they do. Oh, my goodness. I would want to, too. All right. So, do you ladies have any idea what's in the paper there that you're holding?
Laundry soap, chocolate.
What'd you say?
Laundry soap.
Laundry soap, yes. Yes. It is chocolate. Yes. Fortunately, we bought a few more than we actually needed.
That'll be for Father's Day.
Yes, that was it. Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Can we do this? Maybe we'll just pull it into a circle, and then we can just take hands and I'm going to jump right here in the middle if I can. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah, that's right. There you go. Now you can. Father, I'll just start here, Father. I just want to lift up these beautiful moms to you, Lord. I already know your heart towards them, at least a piece of it, because you gave it to me 3 years ago, and Lord, I just want to say to them what you've already said, and that is, women, thank you. The Lord says thank you to you. Father, we lift them up to you right now. We just pray for a refilling from all that they have given, all the giving that they do, Lord, and pouring out from themselves, Lord. Lord, may that all that space that has been made of their giving may be refilled right now by your Spirit, Lord. More joy, more caring, more comforting, more encouraging. Lord, that they would be filled to the full, Lord. That it would be a joy for them, Lord. That every time they give, I know this is your principle anyhow, Lord, but every time they give, Lord, they just feel immediate refilling or refreshing. Father, may your Spirit rest upon them right now, Father God, and fill them to the full with joy and with strength and with wisdom, Father, in the raising of their children, even grown children, Father, because mothers never stop being moms.
Yes.
I know, and I thank God for that. My mama is still my mom, and I love it. Father, we also pray for all the moms of this church and all the moms that even listen to this message right now. Moms that are out there and you're hearing this message, this prayer is for you. Father, we pray your blessing of joy to cover them, to fill them. And Lord, that wisdom would be upon them right now. And fill them right now with wisdom, Lord, in the wisdom in the ministering to their own children, Father. That all the years of that they have left ahead of them, as they speak to their children, the children will literally recognize an increase of wisdom on their moms right now as a result of this prayer, Father God. Father, I'm not praying this religiously, as you know, Lord. I pray in faith right now for an increase of wisdom to be given to them. I know that's a gift you have for them, you want for them to receive. For you lay up wisdom for the upright. You lay it up for them, and it's received by faith, and we just receive that right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for joy and for wisdom. You go, Peter.
Brad kind of already prayed the two things I was going to pray.
I'll bring him by the Spirit.
But I'll just maybe then speak them to draw attention to him. It says, Lord, restore the soul of your servant in Psalms. And I just want to encourage you, Mark preached on that recently, having our soul restored. The strength of being a nurturer is nurturing. The weakness is overextending. And so I just want to encourage you all as moms to nurture stronger than ever, but also to allow yourself to be nurtured more than ever before this year. I just really feel like there's something about that. There's an athlete that's intending to be strength, very full with strength, you know, to compete in the Olympics. One of the things that they do is they take very good care of their body because they're going to exert so much through their body. So, Father, I release specific care epicenters for the women here.
Yes, Lord.
Specific for the mothers here, specific epicenters in their life of care where their soul is just restored. Yeah, people, places, things, specific things, Lord, that this would be a year marked by greater care. And it's care for a purpose. That's the thing that moms struggle with a lot of times. They don't want to take care of themselves because they feel like there's, you know, there's so many to take care of. But you're actually, just like an Olympic athlete, God's called you to be superstar nurturers. So treat yourself as one. It's almost like take that role seriously, and you actually take that role seriously by caring for yourself and allowing others to care for you and nurture you. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing was just kind of what I just hinted at, is that I really believe that the Lord has for each of you to ask for more opportunity. Now, this it's in the context of what I said first, more opportunity to nurture, not just your children.
Yeah, amen.
Because to him who's faithful, he'll give more, right? To him who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. So I actually believe, like Brad was saying, there's going to be a revelation of nurturing and opportunities for nurturing. And so I just encourage you to take God at his word about that sort of thing. You've been faithful with your children, and just say, God, you know I'm available. And he'll give you the person at the bus stop. He'll give you the person at the restaurant that needs a mom.
Amen.
I mean, that's just a reality. There's people that need a mom. And sometimes that's going to look like a hug, and other times it's going to look like, son, go home now. Yes. And apologize yesterday.
Yeah. Amen.
And so I really just want to encourage you all that there's more opportunity. It's almost like the span of your influence in your motherly nature is going to increase. And so, but you prepare for that by taking that role very seriously and saying, God, build me up. Restore me, nurture me. You need a lot of nurturing. If you're going to nurture, you need to be nurtured. So take that part very seriously, because you're saying, God, I'm signing up, not just with my kids, but I know you'll just give me other opportunities, and they won't be a burden because you'll be so nurtured. There's just going to be more opportunity. People need moms. They need moms. Amen. They need God's heart, and you ladies are it.
Amen.
Amen. So, Father, we just pray for specific epicenters of nurturing.
Yes.
This year would develop, I'd say this month and even this week, just things would start to come into place, that these women would notice themselves filled up in a way that's unique to their previous experience.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Megan's already got one this week.
All right, ladies, God bless you. Enjoy your chocolates. Okay, if there's anyone else, like I said, who would like prayer for anything, please come up here. We're here to pray for you now. Otherwise, God bless you, love you, have a beautiful day. See you next week.